We are delighted that you would be here to share this Sunday with us. If you're newer to this fellowship, my name is Pastor Nate Keeler. I'm the lead pastor here. I'd love to get a chance to get to meet you and know you a little bit. I'll be hanging out in the lobby after the services. Come and say hi. Let me pray as we begin this special Sunday. Heavenly Father, we recognize that in ourselves, Lord, we are powerless to break the chains that are in our lives, Lord. And as we come into this place, some of us I know are in bondage. It might be in bondage to fear. They might be in bondage to doubt. It might be in bondage today to an addiction to a substance. Maybe in bondage to sexual addiction. Habits that they just can't seem to break. They might be in bondage to lack of forgiveness and resentment in their lives. Lord, I pray that today as people come into this place that they would see their great need for a greater power that is outside of them. Lord, that they would look to Christ as the one who can break every chain. Lord, as we turn our attention now in this service to the gospel ministry that you have given us to be a light to our community and the sphere of influence that you have put us in, today may you inspire us, Lord, that we would not just see ourselves as spectators in Christianity, we would see ourselves as in the game, involved in the mission. Lord, that we would get excited as we see the Spirit working in our lives, as we seek to share the gospel message both in word and in deed, in declaration and demonstration in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's kind of a different Sunday. Over the past 4 weeks of Missions Month, you've heard from probably people you would consider experts, right? The Raphael Anzenberger, Karen Anzenberger. By the way, were they amazing or what? Yeah. They were our special guests this Missions Month. You heard from SALT, if you were downstairs, experts in that sense of mission work in different countries. I've preached on this topic, and sometimes when you have experts speak, we kind of give ourselves a little bit of a pass, don't we? We say, well, you guys kind of are paid to do this. You guys, you know, you're the ones that went to Bible college or seminary. You know, you guys are the ones that are, you know, you guys have a special gift, you know, that the rest of us don't have. Or you guys have been trained and you understand apologetics. Or you guys aren't afraid or whatever. You know, we give ourselves all these kinds of excuses in that sense to say, you know, we can't quite understand, can't relate. What I want to do is sort of turn over the microphone today to regular people. Now listen, I'm about as regular as they come in so many ways. Just ask my wife, she'll tell you. Maybe my kids even more so. But I recognize it because I have this title, pastor. Some of you can't really get past that. But the people that we're going to have up here and share are people that are regular people, that people that work in the world, that are behind counters at restaurants, that are in the business place, that are just like you. And I want them to come because God has put them strategically in particular places to be a light for Christ in their sphere of influence. And so I want you to hear from them today in what we're calling the everyday gospel, ways that we can just in everyday life be a light to those that God has led us to. So I want to welcome up the panel. Can the panel come on up? And can you give them a hand as they come on up? Thank you all for being here today. I'd like you first to just introduce yourselves, particularly share not just your name, but the sphere of influence that you have found yourself in this stage of your life.
Good morning. My name is Bradley Aulick. My sphere, in a corporate world, I work for Chemours. I'm an attorney, and I advise one of the business units on commercial matters globally. Also, my wife and I, we have two young boys, so there's a lot of sports. I spend a lot of time across the street coaching baseball or volunteering in some capacity.
Good morning. I'm Leslie Olick. I'm a global business leader at the Chemours Company. And so I get the opportunity to interact with many people around the world through the primary role of business leader for a particular unit that we have within Chemours. As Bradley mentioned, as his wife and also as the mother of two young boys that are 7 and 10, whether it's through school activities or whether it is through many sports activities, that is our current sphere of influence.
I'm Patty Harris, and I am a career missionary with Campus Crusade for Christ. Our other name is Crew, and so I've been doing this for 40 years. And my work with them is to teach and train in Christian life, particularly evangelism, and to apprentice women in the area of reaching others for Christ.
You can keep that. Tim.
My name is Timothy Santa Barbara. My sphere of influence is particularly the Well Coffee House and Marketplace in Hokesson. And I also have a ministry called Broken Beginnings, and we minister to guys through Steve Anderson, the Prison Outreach of Delaware, coming out of prison and through other venues, people that are homeless, people that are still addictive and actively using it, and some that are in the process of recovery.
Thank you. I'm Lynn Soplop. I'm a retired school teacher. I'm a mother of two, grandmother of seven, plus a few extras here at the church that I've adopted over the years because they let me hug them. And I am in my seventh year teaching ESL here at Brandywine, and I volunteer two mornings a week at a local hospital.
Hi, I'm Bob Soplop. My sphere of influence is with the ESL ministry here at Brandywine. It meets every Tuesday evening. I don't teach, but I work as an administrator at the desk, and basically my job function is to, and what I love the best, is to meet the international students when they come. Most of them are quite afraid, so we get them registered, I sit with them, we chat, get them a name tag, and after their interview, I take them into their class to meet their teacher. So that's currently what I do. Plus, I've also been involved in short-term international missions quite a bit through trips here from Brandywine.
So we kind of built here a pretty diverse panel of different kinds of places that people have where God has different people to be a strategic light. And we do that so that hopefully you can relate to one or more of the people as they share here about some everyday ways that God enables them to share their faith, both word and deed, and be a light. So why don't we just start here with the Olicks. Would you guys tell us a little bit about what does it look like in corporate America to be a light for the gospel?
Thanks, Nate. I think I would share, for me, it's all about one word, and that's relationship. And this is year 20 for me, from DuPont to now Chemours. And so I've had, through many roles or many opportunities, to build a lot of friendships and very strong relationships. And so for many, they know my background and they know where I come from. But I also recognize I'm in an environment that has many opinions, many worldviews, largely science-based worldviews. And so I also am very respectful of that environment, and so I don't carry my Bible from meeting to meeting, but I think about ways through relationships that I can interact with folks and then create an opportunity. And one example that I would share is we've had a few colleagues that have been battling really tremendous health issues over the last 12 months, and one in particular is a lady that I've known for a long time, and she knew my faith and my background, and through her battle with breast cancer, which she's winning, by the way, came to me, and we had a lot of conversation. And so she wanted to understand and rediscover her own faith through this really difficult time in her life and her family's life. So we started texting verses to each other, or we'd hug. She came to me and asked me about journaling. And so my opportunity in that particular moment to be a light was just to listen and to remember that I couldn't solve her medical issues. God could. but also just to be there for her, just through the relationship that we had developed over many, many years.
Bradley.
So I share many of the same, you know, kind of sensitivity that Leslie does, recognizing people have very diverse backgrounds. But I'll never forget early in my career, someone told me once they had visited a church in Orlando. When they were leaving, there's this big sign that said, "You are now entering the mission field." And that has stuck with me. But being sensitive in a corporate setting, much like what Leslie said, I don't carry the Bible from meeting to meeting, but I find some practical ways, and I, in fact, in my opinion, I think a lot of times you have to earn the right to share the gospel, and I think you can do that by performing your job with excellence. If you're cutting corners, slacking, showing up late for work, I think that really hampers your ability to be a light for the gospel. Watching your tongue, you're going to be in pressure situations. I know Brandon Anchez and I, we early on in the career, we were some pretty tough situations, and I think people recognize how you respond, how you behave. A lot of times people will say, cover your ears. I know you don't curse. I'm getting ready to. You know, people recognize my faith background. And doors will open. I mean, right now I've found with all the natural disasters happening, political dissension, people, no matter their background, recognize something's not right in this world. And that opens the door to share my hope in Jesus Christ.
That's great. Patty, share a little bit from your experience. What does it look like to be a light, and how are some of the ways that God has been sort of challenging you even more recently, and what that means?
Well, first of all, I've dedicated my life to the Great Commission and to be a part of helping to fulfill it. And so in doing that, I hooked up with a bunch of other people who had the same kind of heart. And so I'm in sort of a contractual relationship with all of these people with whom I can walk this road with. And so these 40 years, my work has been to help others to center, to see that God has called us to center our lives around it, and to give them some ideas and some tools of how to do it. And of course, that involves knowing practical ways of revealing who Jesus is. So, practical ways of what is the gospel? Do you know what it is? And let's learn what it is, and let's memorize what it is, so that in a flash, you would be able to help someone to see how they can come to know Christ, and how to take conversations about tragedies in the world, all of the things that are happening and what's wrong with it, and then to show them, here's the solution, would you like to know? Has anyone ever taken the time to explain to you how God solves that, and you can have a personal relationship with Christ? And so that's a gist of it. But this is just the total DNA of all of the people that I work with. So it's a natural thing for us to say, well, what did you say to her, and how did he respond, and so on. So I kind of eat and sleep it. However, Dr. Bright, if you remember him, would do this kind of thing quickly on airplanes and in taxis and at a table and so on. And I always said, I'm not like that. In fact, as a confession, although I know and I do out of obedience to the Lord, it has always been with when the prompting of the Holy Spirit comes to say, I put so-and-so right here in your place, I'm still shuddering at the thought, oh no. And that's been going on for years and years until very, very recently I have transferred to another campus ministry. Before, 10 or 12 years ago, I was in a campus ministry, but it was with college professors. Now I am on a campus with these students, and the new ministry is called Bridges International, and the closest one to me is in Philadelphia. And so I'm with a team of very young people. I'm the real senior person there, and I take advantage of all of my senior perks. But as I am older, I am enjoying shadowing them and going with them, and I am learning brand new things. And what has happened is something new has exploded in my heart, and it is this joy in the telling of the Word of God. So very quickly, how did this come about? First of all, the campus ministry has come into a new way of thinking that has been birthed by missionaries who have been working with Muslims. And knowing how antagonistic and hostile they are, they're simply just doing what the first century people did. And they're seeing all of this wonderful new coming to Christ is. And so I am learning that Jesus had conversations with people. That's what it was. Just on his way walking in houses, he was just conversing. And now I am studying, how did you do it, oh God? How did you do it? How did you do it back in Eden when you went to have a conversation? You had questions. You know, where are you? What did you do? Did you eat from that tree? Questions. And then you came, when you became a man, you did those same kind of conversations. Active listening he does. Questions he does. Where are you? And so now I'm learning that the where are you on your spiritual journey? Where are you in your thinking? Where are you in how you value life? Where are you is my inroad into their lives. And now I'm seeing the book of Acts among my team members and with them, where a lot of time is spent just in dialogue. They may be taking a month, 6 months, a whole semester. We have students in the second, third year still coming to Bible studies, still asking questions and have not come yet, but their hearts are softening. We're seeing one of them, an atheist, 2 weeks ago, he said, I can't even sleep now. I'm worried and so on. Well, we know the Holy Spirit's breaking him down. Last week he went to church with one of our team members, and this Sunday I can't wait to find out. But it's this same kind of spiritual gospel conversation. I am feeling like I died and went to heaven now, because I am seeing just the simple things that the Lord Jesus did, and I am trying to interject all of that into my own life and conversations with others.
And Patty has made available out in the lobby a list of questions that she uses as spiritual conversation starters. So we have a list of those out there. Grab one at the welcome desk as you're on your way out, and we'll get more copies for next week if we run out. This is something that Patty, I think, does really well, that conversation. You're hearing the theme of relationships. Let's continue talking about this. Talk a little bit about ESL, Ministry to Internationals. We have, just here in our backyard, the nations come to us. I mean, certainly there's international ministry, but God has brought the nations to us. I had the opportunity not that long ago to be a guest and share the Christmas story in ESL. And I had everybody from different languages come and write their word for peace up on a chalkboard. And we must have had 20 different languages represented just right there in the room. This is the kind of community you work with. Would you guys tell us a little bit about the importance of hospitality in gospel ministry, particularly with the international community in this area?
I'll start. Yes, Lynn and I feel pretty much called to be have the gift of hospitality. We love to meet these students. We love to have them come to our house and share with them a meal and conversation as well. And we also love to try to, of course, language is a barrier in a lot of cases. Lynn's Spanish speaking and I know nothing, okay? So we also like to try to introduce the international students to some of you that may have skills, language skills, and that seems to have worked well as in the past. So we'd like to continue that. If you have language skills, would love to meet an international student, show them hospitality, that would be most welcome. They're very open. They come without any agenda other than learning English. So our conversations with them are very, they're wonderful. They're very deep. They're very open. They have families. I like to, when they have children, help them bring the children up to the nursery to get them started. And they're just very open to us. So we just very much enjoy that.
I think I'll talk about Desiree. Many of you know Desiree. He was a student in my level two class a couple years ago. And he was very curious about the church here because that we would open the doors and invite people from, I think at that point our ESL program had students from over 40 different countries throughout the world. So we invited him to come to church with us. At the end of that service, you may remember, Nate had mentioned this before, Desiree said, "I met Jesus at Brandywine that morning." Well, he's just continued to love Brandywine. You have opened your arms to him. He feels like a rock star when he comes here. He really does, because you remember his name. You've invited him in your Sunday school classes. And one time in class, he told me, he said, "You know, Lynn, my birthday's coming up in the fall." And he said, "I never had a birthday cake. We just don't celebrate like that in Burkina Faso." So we remembered that little thing, and we had a pool party, and we invited many of our regular pool attenders, plus Nate came with his family, and Todd brought Kaylee and the kids, and Desiree didn't know it, but we brought him into the dining room, and we were all standing there. We had a birthday cake, and he looked around like, "Whose birthday is it?" He never had a birthday celebration. We all started singing. And I remember he didn't know what to say. His tears started coming down his eyes, and he crossed his arms like this, and he just stood there like that, and it went over so well, we sang it twice to him that day. But it was such a simple thing, hot dogs, hamburgers, and birthday cake. So it could be as simple as that. That might be your gift.
And you've heard me say before that it's a Chuck Colson quote, but that the world isn't changed through big evangelistic rallies, it's through backyards and barbecues. It's through that hospitality of inviting people into your home. Particularly internationals, that's incredibly effective. But just think about your own neighborhoods and the small things that you can do to get people sort of out of their comfort zone and down into relationships. It's really important. Tim, we're going from sort of the corporate America to some of your background. Now, you grew up in the mean streets of Ellesmere, and he ran the streets. This guy ran the streets, involved in a lot of, you know, kind of seedy stuff for many years of your life. God completely changed your life, took you to the bottom in prison. You met Chaplain Steve Anderson, and you gave your life to Christ, and you've been walking with the Lord for how many years now?
Going on 5 years.
Okay, so fifth spiritual birthday. And all of us are a work in progress. Tim has been a real work in progress. I say that with great love and affection. I've watched you grow and be challenged in many ways. Tell us a little bit about how God has enabled you to be a light in your current sphere of influence.
Well, at the Well Coffee House and Marketplace, as you know, is in Hocas, and it's kind of a more upper-class area. But we get a real diverse group in there. I mean, people come in Mercedes-Benzes, and then there's a guy, Nick Tolino, that runs Two Roads Ministry, and he picks up homeless guys. He comes in also, construction workers. So it's very secular, and also some Christians that come in there. So it's a real unique place. but I'm able to talk and pray with all of them, all the same. So it's been a real blessing there. One story in particular, I mean, I've prayed with people for their sick goat that was out in the car. This little girl came in and she was crying, and so I prayed with her and she felt better. I mean, it was great. And then I've also had people come in with illness and prayed with them, and they came back days later just so thankful that I prayed with them and they were well. And so it's been a real blessing.
So right there behind the counter, looking for opportunities to just pray with people. So a conversation starter a lot of times for you is, do you
how
need
you
any
doing?
Prayer? How you doing?
Yeah.
Eye contact.
Eye contact, smiling. It's really a lot about hospitality. I mean, you know, Stephen in the Bible, he was a table server, right? I serve tables sometimes. I just interact with people, and it's also a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit will prompt me, you know, go pray with that person, go talk to that person. And a lot of times you can just tell by somebody's body language, if they come in and they just look miserable. To some people that's intimidating. For me, that's like, I got to go talk to that person. Maybe I can ask them how they're doing. And you stand there and you don't just say, hey, how you doing? And you walk away as like a formality. You say, how you doing? And you wait, you know? And you'd be surprised how much pain and stuff comes pouring out of people when you actually wait to hear what they have to say. And in that, you're able to share the gospel. In that, you can share the love of Christ. We have this gift that we hold on to, and it's free for everybody. Why are we holding on to it? We have to share it, and we have to share this love of Christ with people. As it was said, you know, the two greatest commandments are love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, and soul, and the second like it is love your neighbor as yourself. What if we all started loving? You know, Nate said one time, how are we doing with that?
Tim, talk a little bit about Broken Beginnings, this ministry for those that are struggling with addiction. You have an addiction background. Tell us about what it looks like to minister and be a light among those men.
I tell you, it's one of the most powerful things that I've ever seen. Like Patty was saying, there's so much joy in that these guys are coming in and they don't know hope. There's no hope, and these guys, some of them have never touched a Bible, some of them have never heard about Jesus, and the past month and a half, there hasn't been a Bible study we've had where guys aren't crying, and they're receiving for the first time a glimpse of hope that is Jesus Christ, something they've never heard about before. I tell these guys a lot of times, is when you get out of prison, it's called, like, when you get released, you think you're free, and they come over to the intercom, and they'll say, Santa Barbara, bags and baggage. And I used to think, oh, that's my freedom day. And I tell these guys, that's not freedom. You're more of a prisoner outside of prison than you are in prison. The real freedom comes when you meet Jesus Christ, the true living hope.
Amen. Amen. Let's shift a little bit. Let's talk about, we talked about different ways that each of us have been a light. Talk a little bit about some of the barriers that you might face in your different spheres of influence. Why don't I just kick it over to you guys, the Olics. Corporate America, you know, executive level. What are some of the challenges, some of the barriers that you might face?
I think two of the biggest, in my opinion, is one, we work with very scientific people. And so a lot of times they need things proven out. And the other thing, too, is work with some highly compensated people. And that can be blinders for people not knowing they need the hope of Jesus.
And I would just add, those can be intimidators. Right, and so how do you, through relationships, I think it just takes one small instance where it gives you an opportunity to talk about what do you do this weekend, right? What are you doing? Not how are you doing? What are you doing? And we are pretty intentional about church. We talk about our choice of Christian education, and that leads to a myriad of other questions, regardless of whether we're talking with folks in our parking garage that where we park every day or senior level executives. It gives us an opportunity just to be real people. This is who we are. So I think that's how the barrier is real. I think just to add to what Tim said, the other barrier is I have to personally challenge myself working in a global company with so many views, whether it's science-based, whether it's people all over the world with different beliefs and systems and backgrounds. I have to remember this is not a legalistic battle that I'm trying to win, but it is the commandment of I need to love that neighbor just as I love myself. And sometimes that's hard because you know they're coming from a place where it's cloudy and they don't know the truth. And so I have to kind of pause, and I don't want to let myself become the barrier.
One of the things I've heard you guys kind of mention here and there, both on the platform today, but also in our conversations, is just the role of the Holy Spirit in prompting you to share the gospel with people and being sensitive to that. And I think that's really critical. I'll share just briefly a story. I met with a gentleman recently who was high up in the executive food chain at DuPont for many years, very high up there. And he came to Christ about 7 years ago. And he has a Jewish background, came to Christ. He actually came to Christ through listening to the radio and hearing a preacher preach, and sort of the light bulb went off. But there was a lot of work that was happening prior to that, just in his own heart. He was searching. He was afraid. He would often go to bed just knowing, my life is tragically going in the wrong direction. Even though I put on this great front that I'm successful, I got my life in order, I know my life is a mess. No one at work would know that. And he's just searching, and then God enabled that light bulb to go off. And he said, you know, as I started telling some folks after I came to Christ, I started telling some folks at DuPont that I was a Christian. And all of a sudden I found out, wow, there's actually a lot of Christians here. He said, but never in my many years of being at DuPont did anyone ever share the gospel with me or try to start a spiritual conversation with me about the gospel. I said, wow, I was a little taken back. I was like, well, why do you think that is? He said, I think I was very intimidating for so many people. And many people probably thought, you know, I don't want to be offensive. I mean, there's a Jewish guy, he's way up there. If I say the wrong thing, I could lose my job. Meanwhile, what he was saying is, I was hungering to have a spiritual conversation. And that really just challenged me to think about, never think that somebody's at a certain level, either so high up or their life is so, you know, on point that you can't say anything. And never think somebody's so far gone that you can't say anything to them. Be sensitive to the prompting of the Spirit and who he might be having you to talk to at any given time. Tim, would you just share a little bit? You were talking to me earlier about a barrier that you just had in your own heart and maybe a hard lesson that God had to teach you with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was about a year and a half saved after coming to Christ, and I was at the Wendy's in Ellesmere, and a guy named Angelo walked in, and he was just sweating profusely. You could tell he was on some kind of drugs, probably coke. And he said, hey, Chip, can I talk to you? By the way, for those of you who don't know, some people call me Chip. Most of the people in the neighborhood call me Chip. Anyway, I was like, yeah, man, let me eat and we'll catch up after, you know. So I finished eating and I still smoked at that time. So I went out to smoke a cigarette and my daughters came out behind me and they're like, Dad, come on, let's go. And I was like, all right, cool. So here comes Angelo. He says, hey, man, you got a minute? I was like, well, I'll tell you what, man, I'll see you in the hood. I'll see you in the neighborhood. I'll talk to you later. And I missed that appointment. And don't you know, he died either that night or early in the next morning from drugs. And so I missed that appointment. And that was really tough for me. And I know I missed that appointment because God allowed me to feel that pain, but not enough to crush me. Because we serve a loving God. He just wanted to know that I needed to be sensitive to his promptings, to the Holy Spirit. But it's not my job to change hearts. It wasn't my job to save his life. My job is simply to be obedient to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit, the prompt. And you do that from spending time at his feet, spending time in his word, spending time in prayer. And believe me, people will come. He'll send people right in your path all the time.
Lynn, would you, as we begin to close, would you just share, is there anything that you would, if you could tell people one thing, what would you share with them about this idea of evangelism and being a light in everyday life in your sphere of influence?
Wow, I don't know where to start sometimes, but I think at ESL particularly that the people that walk through my door to be taught English, that's their primary purpose. As Bob said, many of them had never entered a Baptist church before. They're afraid, and they don't know what to expect. And that first meeting, and we have people that join. Every week we get new members to our class. It's crazy. They just keep coming right through June. It's like, you're only going to teach 2 more weeks, but they keep coming. But they're there really to learn English, and although I want them to know the gospel and I want them to know Jesus when they get done with my class, my first job is to meet them where they're seeking, to be sensitive to their culture, to be sensitive to their religious background, to make them feel welcome, and to get over any of those barriers for them might be a huge hurdle, and that might be all they get. But as the Alex said too, just to show them that I'm sensitive. I'm ready to listen. And I don't need to talk all the time. Sometimes I just need to learn to be quiet and listen to what they really want to say.
It's a good lesson for all of us. As we close, we want to make available to you this panel. They'll be hanging around after the service. Maybe you'd like to know some of the different ways that they've been able to share their faith. And they would like to learn from you. If there's some things that you've done and some ways that you've been able to be a light, come and share that with them. They'd like to hear that from you as well. One of the ways that we as a church, not just individual lights, but as all the collective lights become a city on a hill, is thinking more strategically about how God has positioned us as a light in our backyard here in Wilmington, the city of Wilmington. The city of Wilmington has great needs. We've talked about those needs. We've talked about, as a church, moving much more intentionally towards showing the love of Christ in our city. To that end, on Saturday, we have a special Facebook Live event happening Saturday at 9 a.m. Don't sleep in, okay, too far. Set your alarms at 8:50, those of you that sleep in. Wake up, go right on your phone, go on your Facebook account, and log into our Brandywine Valley Baptist Church Facebook account. We're going to be doing a special Facebook Live event called A Pastor and a Policeman. And this is an event that we're going to be doing that's going to, it's going to be a conversation, a dialogue between myself and Lieutenant Dan Seligman, a retired police officer with the city of Wilmington. It's going to be a little bit of the story of how we met, how God had kind of arranged for us to be able to be kind of 1 + 1 = 1,000 in that kind of relationship, and some things where how we can be even more effective in the city going forward. So that's what we're going to dialogue about. Lieutenant Dan isn't a Christian. In fact, he was somewhat hostile to Christianity for several years before we met, and now he tells more people about church and what we're doing than most people I know. So it's pretty incredible how God has used it in a powerful way. So you're just going to even hear us as friends dialogue Christian to non-Christian about what is the role of the church and why does he see it as important in our city. So it'll be interactive. So you can go on, ask your questions. We'll answer those questions so you can log in, make sure you're there. If you don't have a Facebook account, you can still go to our website, brandywine.church, and click a link and you'll be able to watch it even if you don't have an account, okay? Can you thank this panel for being here today? Thank you. And let's pray as we take up our offering and sing one more song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to have this panel. The gospel is for everyone. And Lord, may we be ambassadors of that message. Lord, as we walk out this door, may we see the world as a mission field that you send us to. May we be inspired by that. Lord, as we take up this collection, this offering, and these tithes, may it honor you. May the offerings that we collect today go to meet the needs of our community, to share the gospel ministry both here in our backyard and also around the world. So, Lord, we give this now to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.